But I believe tonight, I was telling Pastor Mark about this. We were just in a national conference this last week in Wichita. And the Lord gave me one of the strongest words he's ever given me. And I shared a little bit with him, and he said, that's the one. And so I felt that already, and he confirmed it. So tonight we're going to hear a word that's for us individually, but it's for the body of Christ. How many know the body of Christ, we need a live rhema word. And I believe this is one of those words that's going to help us get back to where we're supposed to be. Amen? Amen. Why don't you find someone that you haven't got to hug their neck yet and welcome them and say you're glad to see them. Praise God. Are you glad you're here?
Yes.
Say, I'm not sure yet. That's all right. I'm glad I'm here. And I believe, just like I just said, I believe God's got a word for us tonight. And it's one of those that you can very quickly, very easily choose, and it is a choice, but choose to check out, but that's not us. I should have had some amens right there. We're not going to check out, are we? We are not a checkout group, we're a check-in group, and we're going to hear from God, and we're going to walk out his word. Can I hear an amen for that?
Amen.
Tonight, the word that God gave me, we were in this conference, and the conference title was actually Rise Up, and so it fit perfectly in with what God shared with me. So tonight, we're going to share the word on Rise Up. You might have to activate that. There we go. It's on now, or no, it's not on. There we go. You're not going to be able to see any of those words tonight because it's not doing what it's on. Just take it off. How many know we don't need the things up there, do we? You got your Bible with you. You're going to need your Bible tonight. We're going to begin with this word in Acts chapter 3. And I've actually preached a portion of this here once before. But this is a powerful word that I believe that you're going to receive what he has for you here. Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John walking into the temple, and they're going through the gate, the beautiful gate. If you're going to go in one, go the beautiful gate. And they're walking there, and all of a sudden they see a guy that's been lame from his mother's womb. So you need to get that picture. He's never walked. And so he's there begging. He's trying to get, because you got to realize that's an agricultural society, and if you can't work, you don't get to survive. And so he's doing all that he can do. He can't go out and have a job or a career of that. He's at the gate, and he's relying on other people to survive. And I want you to get that picture in your mind. So he's sitting there, and all of a sudden he sees these two preachers coming in. And he's got his sign out. I'm sure it's out there. It says, God bless, please help me. Cardboard sign. And he's out there, and they're walking by, and he gets that sign out there ready, and Peter begins to look at him, and he says, hey, look at us. And I'm sure his hopes just went sky high. He said, all right, they look like they have some money. If I can get a 5 or a 10 spot or maybe even a $20 bill, I can get me dinner tonight, and it may even take me through tomorrow. He's looking for provision that's going to get him from today to tomorrow and hopefully maybe even the week, but he's looking for that provision. And then I want you to see this. When Peter said, look at us, he expected, the word says, expecting to receive from this, receive from them, he looked at them. And then Acts chapter 3, verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. And I'm sure this guy went, oh, great. He's looking for money because he's got it figured out in his mind. If I can just get a 5 or a 10 or a 20, I'm going to make it. And the first words out of the preacher's mouth is, silver and gold I don't have. And I'm sure he went, great, another Christian that's going to give me a track or something. But he says this. He says, Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they lifted him up, and he went walking and leaping and praising God in an instant. In an instant. He was not just healed. His ankle bones and legs were not just healed. He learned to walk, leap, and run in an instant. That's a miracle of God. But I want you to get this. What he thought he needed, what he thought he wanted, wasn't what he truly needed. He was wanting 5, 10, 20. That's what he was wanting, but it wasn't what he needed. And I want you to just let that camp out on your brain here for a second, because a lot of times what we're asking God for, what we think we want, isn't really what we need. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I'm telling you, his whole world changed in that one instant, because now he can go out. Right now, he probably, we don't know a lot of details, but we do know that at that time, if they were invalid, they couldn't work, they probably didn't have a family. So now he can get married. Come on, all the single people say amen to that. Now he can get married. Now he can have a job. He can have a career, and he can support his own family. That was impossible before then. Say, rise up. I want you to get this in your notes. You're going to have to talk quick. I had it on a slide for you, but that isn't going to work. So this word rise up is one word, and it's agiro. E-G-E-I-R-O. Agiro. Say agiro. That's going to be code word from now on. When you see each other walking down the street, just say agiro. Just rise up. And that means to waken or arouse from sleep. It means to waken or arouse from disease, from death, from obscurity, from inactivity, from non-existence. Folks, when you look around at our world today, there's so many people, even in the church, that they're just living a life of obscurity. They're just living a life of inactivity. They're just here surviving. And God's word is, it's time to rise up from that. To waken them from this state, to rise them up. And then I saw this. The King James will use that word agiro, and it will use it this way. To rise up again. Say again. You know what that means? They were once at a high level, but they've fallen off. And God spoke to me. My church was once at a high level, but it's fallen off. And I tell you what. That stirs me up. Now, that's not a doom and gloom message, but what he wants is his church. And remember, it's his church. He says, I want my church to rise up because, hey, I believe at the end days, we're going to have a revival like we've never had before, and it's already started, but the church is going to have to step up to be the church that we're called to be to see this come to pass. Can I hear an amen for that? So say, rise up, and then say again. How many of you have maybe fallen, have maybe slid back into obscurity or inactivity, and God's saying, no, now's your time. You say, well, you know, there's not that many places at the church. No. I'm not talking about just in here in these walls. I'm talking about everywhere. There's people around you that need you to rise up to a level in Christ where when they have a need, they're coming to look for you to get prayer. And when they do that, hey, I'm not going to bow down to the man. I'm going to pray for him right there. If they fire me, I'll go get another job. Amen. It's time for us to rise up to that place. Hey, do you remember a day when the church used to be the dominant voice in our society? Government officials would come talk to pastors if they wanted to do something. Why? They needed the church's permission to do anything. It's time for us to rise back up to that, where we have influence over every part of our society. Because, folks, you got to face it today. In our world, especially in the liberal world that you see on TV a lot, the church is non-existent. They don't care what we think or what we say or what we believe. In fact, it's working the opposite way. They think when we say something, then they need to go exactly the opposite because we are non-existent. It's time for us to rise up. And there's only one way we can do it. And that's following, hearing the Word of God, and obeying the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I watch a lot of ministers and things, and you know, there's some great ministers out there, but there's a lot now today. There's a very popular thing where hype and motivation and emotion, I mean, you know, those are a lot of things that are involved in church services today. One person agreed. God, this week, as I was preparing for this conference, God took me back to high school football. And I hadn't thought about this in years, but he took me back to high school football. And on Monday, we would watch film, and then we'd go do a walk around. And then on Tuesday, first team offense practice. Then on Wednesday, first team defense. I was from Laverne, so I was on both of those because we just had to put everyone out there because we needed enough people to play. So first team offense on Tuesday, first team defense on Wednesday, Thursday with special teams and kicking. And then Friday, we did a walk around, and then we went to a pep rally. How many has ever been to a pep rally? And we'd go to a pep rally, and they'd cheer, and I mean, the whole school would be there, and you'd get pumped up, ready to go. Then you'd go eat a meal together, and then you'd go to the locker room, and the coach would give you a great motivational speech, and I mean, everyone's pumped up, bouncing, ready to go. And that lasted as long as you took, until you took that first shot to the mouth. And then all the hype and all the motivation went out the window. And then it was back to what we had prepared for during the week. You know what? All the hype and motivation, it's sometimes good until you take that first shot from the enemy. And then hype and motivation will leave. But the Word of God, and if you founded your life on the Word, it never bows down. It never backs down. It's right there, and it gives you the substance. It gives you the strength. It gives you the game plan on how to succeed. It's time for us to rise back up to that place. Amen. Turn in your Bibles. That was the just introduction, basically. So let's go to the main message. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles 13. Either open your Bibles up, turn them on, let's get there. Verse 1 says, "Then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader." I want you to get that phrase. He consulted with the captains of thousands, of hundreds, and with every leader. David is doing something that is very popular in our society today. He's getting ready to make a move, but who does he go to first? He wants to make sure it's all right with the people. You know what? Our politicians today, they're not going by what's said on the inside, what God's leading them, what the Word's telling them. They take a poll and they say, all right, what are the people going to say if I do this? And they're making decisions based on people's opinions. David, he consulted with the leaders of thousands, hundreds, and every leader. And David said to all Israel, if it seems good to you, come on, hear that. If it seems good to you. I'm telling you, I don't want to get political tonight, but I'm thankful for our president. I'm thankful. My wife and I, we had the privilege of eating dinner with Rick Renner. He came to our church, and we got to host him, and so we're eating dinner with him. And Rick Renner, if you don't know who he is, probably, I'm telling you, he's one of the most intelligent preachers I've ever been around in my life. Just extremely intelligent guy. And he pastors several churches in Russia. His base is in Moscow. And so we're talking about the election, and he's talking about Trump, and he's a big Trump proponent, and we were talking about it, and I said, during the election, were you in the States or were you in Moscow? And he said, I was in Moscow. And I said, well, what do the people over there think? And he said, oh, they love Trump. And I went, kind of like that. I probably had a reaction. And he said, no, don't listen to what the news says. They love Trump because they honor and they respect power and authority. And then he said this. I thought this was awesome. They see Trump more like a king than a president. And that made me stop back, and I began to think about it. A king doesn't care what the people think. They do what's right because it is right. And I'm telling you, Trump, he's trying to do the right thing. He's got some godly counsel, but he's trying to do the right thing because it's right, even if anyone else is coming against him. We need to pray for him. We need to pray for all of our leaders, whether they're on our side or not. Say amen to that. Amen. It's time for us to hear God and quit looking around, what's this going to cost me in my political world? David consulted with captains of thousands, hundreds, and every leader. And David said to the assembly of all Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, so I'm glad he added that in, but we're going to see that was more window dressing. He says, let us send out our brethren everywhere where we are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and the Levites who are in the cities of the common lands, that they may gather together to us. And let us bring the ark of God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. You know what the Ark of the Covenant was? It had the tablets in it, it had the rod that budded, and what stayed between the cherubim? The presence of God. And he said, now listen to this, we only have one record that Saul kind of went to it, but he really didn't consult God there, he just went to it, but they had not been back to the presence of God since the days of Saul. And God began to speak to me, can we as the church play church and not really be in the presence of God? Now, again, this is one of my dearest friends over here. I'm not talking about this house. I'm talking about the church globally right now. Can we play church and not ever experience the presence of God? And I tell you, I see it over and over and over again. I got so excited. We talked just the other day. I said, you probably don't remember this, but the first time we came, I prophesied over him, and I said, this is going to spill over its walls, and you're going to have services on Sunday nights. You're going to have multiple services during the week. Why? People are going to be hungry for the word, and you know what? We're there. We're there. People are hungry for the word. You know, this next generation, a lot of people can cast stones at them, but you know what I love about them? They are hungry for the word. And if you give them the true word, I'm telling you, Pastor Debbie and I have some leaders at our home church, Victory, that are all in their late 20s, early 30s, and when you preach the strong word to them, I'm telling you, they want it all. That's exciting. I'm speaking over a generation, and you know what? Debbie said this, a generation has young kids, parents, and grandparents. That's a generation. And so it doesn't matter how old you are, it's time for us to go back to the word. Amen. He says, the assembly said, what's right in the eyes of the people? So David gathered him. I went down. Verse 6, let's start with verse 6. And David and all of Israel went to Bala, to Kiriath-Jearim, and they that belonged to Judah, to bring up there the ark of the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim, where his name is proclaimed. So they carried the ark of God on a new cart, say a new cart, from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah of Ahio drove the cart. Two guys, Uzzah and Ahio is how I say it, so it's not Uzzah from Ohio, but Uzzah and Ahio. But they put the ark of God on what? Say a new cart. All right, you guys are Bible scholars. How was the ark supposed to be transported? They had poles of a specific wood, acacia wood. And that those poles, they created rings that were on the Ark of the Covenant. And the poles went between those rings, and then priests would get, and they would place those poles on their shoulders, and that was how it was supposed to be transported. Where in the world did they put it on a new cart come from? You know, I see a lot of time we're trying to change and innovate things just to change and innovate. And we got to go back to what God says. And he's doing new things all the time. He's singing new songs. Come on, Remnant, let me hear an amen over there. New songs are coming out of this. And he's singing new songs, but when he says, this is how you do this, guess what? That's how you need to do that. He's trying to get creative and innovative, and he puts it on a new cart. Now listen to verse 8. Then David and all Israel played music before God with their all their might, with singing on harps and string instruments, on tambourines and on cymbals, with trumpets. In other words, what they did is they said, okay, I want to bring this cart back to me because we haven't inquired on it. Hey, let's put it on a new cart. And then what did they do? Then they came over there and they worshiped with all their might. And what they're basically doing is, God, here's my plan. Please come worship. I'm going to come worship. Please come bless my plan. And a lot of times we're trying to drag our plan into the place and say, all right, God, now bless this. When all along it's not anywhere close to his plan. I want to be in touch with what his plan is, not what I think we need. It's time for pastors to rise up. This conference that I preached was a whole bunch of pastors and ministers. And it's time for pastors to rise up, get on their face before God, then rise up and do what God says to do. Don't think that what someone's doing down the street because they're having success with something, don't think that you can just do that and it will work for you too. You need to hear from God what you're supposed to do. I'm talking to you individually now. Don't just do what everyone else is doing because they're having success. You get on your face before God and say, God, how are we supposed to do this? Because his plan for you is probably going to be way different than his plan for me. Because if you start to look and doing what everyone else is doing, guess who you're going to begin to worship? Everyone else and not God. And what we've had is a lot of churches that are looking everywhere else. We're having whole conferences dedicated to what works now, and we're dedicating all that we have to what works now instead of getting before God and saying, God, what do you have for us? They began to worship and say, come on, God, bless this. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark because the oxen stumbled. So they stumbled. The ark's about to fall off. Uzzah, he's protecting it. He raises his hand out and touches the ark. And guess what happens? Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand on the ark. And he died there before God. Well, that's kind of a mean God. No, it's a God that says there are boundaries. And you've got to stay in the boundaries. And his boundary was no one is to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And there are consequences, folks, to doing things contrary to God's plan. We don't talk about that enough in church, too. Because we have a great loving God. How many are thankful we have a big loving God? And I'm thankful that he's a loving God. But he is a just God. And he says there are ways that you're to do it. And there's are ways you're not supposed to do it. And if you're going to make choices to do it other ways, there will be consequences to it. Our society, we haven't taught kids that. And so they make a bad decision and they go to prison or they do some things. And we haven't really taught them, hey, you make wrong choices, there's going to be some hard consequences to it. Popular message here tonight, but that's all right. I told Pastor Mark, it's a hard one at first, but it's going to end really good, so stay with me. He put out his hand, and he was struck down dead because he was not supposed to touch the ark. Now listen to verse 11. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Can you hear that? He's trying to do something that he's not even supposed to do. He put the ark on a new cart. You're not supposed to do that. They're traveling. The ox stumble. It's about to fall off. And you're not supposed to touch the ark. Uzzah reaches out to guard it. Hey, if I'm not supposed to touch it, it doesn't matter if it hits the ground. It'll come back up because I'm not going to touch it. But he's doing things and he's making decisions outside of God's plan. And then guess what he does? He gets mad at God. And how many people, they're doing things contrary to the word, and you know the first person they get mad at is God. But it's time for us to come back to him. Now, you can really hear some spirit here. Listen to verse 12. David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? Say to me. Man, God began to speak, this is not about me. This was not about David. There's preachers and pastors out there that they're preaching, they're doing things just to be stars. How many YouTube followers I have, how many of these. Hey, I need to make sure my allegiance, it's not about me. It's not me trying to build my ministry, my kingdom, if you will. It's about building the kingdom of God. And I said it earlier, but this church and all the churches, they're not pastor's churches, they're his churches. He says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But guess what? How many believe that's a truth? You're going to have to amen or something. I can't tell by your faces. How many believe that's a truth? Then if that's a truth, mathematics tells us if that side is true, then the opposite side has to also be true. So that means if I'm trying to build my own church, air quotes, if I'm trying to build my own ministry, then the gates of hell will prevail against it. Why are we struggling? Why are we not seeing signs, wonders, and miracles? Because a lot of it has become about us and not about him anymore. It's time to get back to him. Y'all were praising and worshiping. And I was just, I had to set up there because I was doing things. But I was just on my face before God saying, God, bring us back to this place of true worship, of true holiness, of true worship to God in our services. David said, how am I going to bring it back to me? So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Man, I love this. You know, you sang a song tonight, the stars, or you were talking about it, the stars and the elders casting down their crowns. It's time for all of the high places to be brought low. It's time for all of the big personalities to be brought low. Cast our crowns at his feet and let God be God. Verse 14, the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom and on the house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. You know what? The blessing was there the whole time. They just didn't do it the right way. If they'd have done it the right way, the blessing would have flowed down through there and we'd have seen miraculous things done when David brought it in. The blessing was there all along. Now, we're going to skip down to chapter 15. This blows my mind, but the writer of Chronicles didn't write it in chronological order. That'll make you go tilt right there. But if you read this out of Samuel, you'll see that he wrote it in actual chronological order. But we're going to skip down to chapter 15. Then David said, no one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before them. Hey, David realized, we're not doing this the right way. I better go find out what the right way is. And he saw really quickly, hey, we're not supposed to put it on a new cart. The Levites are supposed to carry it. Now listen to this, verse 12. He said to them, you, the heads of the fathers of the house of the Levites, sanctify yourselves. Praise and worship leaders in the house. So there's only a couple of us. No, all of us are called to be worshipers before God. Remnant, listen to me. This is a very big key right here. Sanctify yourself. Before you get to that stage, before you lead others into worship, make sure that you're clean, set apart for a holy purpose. I know they do that. They're dear friends of ours. And the Spirit of God moves through them. Why? Clean vessels. You've got to make sure you're set apart for a holy purpose. He said, sanctify yourselves, and you and your brethren, that we may bring the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place which I prepared for it. For because we did not do it the first time. And actually, he says, because you didn't do it. How many notice that when we mess up, it's really easy to blame everyone else but ourselves? I guess I'm alone on that one. He says, because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us. Because we did not consult him about the proper order. Have we gotten so good and so comfortable with doing church that we no longer have to consult him on how we're supposed to do it? You know, one of the biggest concerns I have as a minister, have I gotten so good at this? Have we gotten so good that we just show up? And we do three songs, two fast, one slow. We do offering. We do our whole agenda and say, okay, God, all right, you got 25 minutes to show up here because we got to be out by this time because we got to get to the restaurant. And so we bring our little thing to him and say, okay, God, manifest it, but make sure you're done by 11:35. My dad was a pastor, and they were at a funeral one time, and he and the Assembly of God pastor was standing there talking. And the Assembly of God pastor said this to him, and it really impacted my dad. He goes, "Ted, I'm so worried that I've gotten too good at my job." And my dad says, "What are you talking about?" And he says, "It's so easy just to go put 3 points together and preach a sermon," and I'm putting air quotes on sermon. "Anyone can preach a sermon. Can you get on your face before God and get a message from the throne room?" We get very comfortable with how we're doing things. I'm ready for God to wreck up all of the comfort in the church. Just mess it up. "Pastor Mark, you're a great pastor. You're a great preacher. I listen to you on Church's Aid. But I look for the day that you try to preach and you just can't even preach because the Spirit of God has fallen in this place so thick that we can't even move. We can't even get up. I want those days back." He still has a detailed and specific plan for our services to him. And it will always work when we seek his plan. If you didn't get that in your notes, get that in your notes. That was a word straight from God. He still has a detailed and specific plan for our church services to him. And it always works when we seek his plan. First Chronicles 15, verse 14. "So the priest and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord." Hey, when all else fails, read the instructions. That's for all the men in the house right there. Verse 26. "And so it was when God helped the Levites." Underline that. When God helped the Levites. How many of you know if you get to knowing God's plan and you get to doing God's plan, God shows up and helps you do his plan? "When God helped the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they offered 7 bulls and 7 rams. God wants to help you. And I'm not just talking to pastors and church now. He wants to help you in your business. He wants to help you in every aspect of your life. And if you'll just pause and say, "Hey, I don't know it all, God." How many, we just need to practice that for a while. I told pastor today, we were in Weatherford and preaching this morning, and I told that pastor this morning, I said, my dad had a saying that has now become my saying. It's amazing how smart my dad got when I turned 30. How many know what I'm talking about there? You under 30? No, don't worry about it. You'll get it someday. But my dad didn't know anything until I finally got to the point where I realized I don't know hardly anything, and what he was telling me was right. And we got to get back to that place where we say, "God, I don't know how to do this, but I know you do. And I'm not going to move until I hear from you." Well, that's not practical, preacher. You know, there's timelines, there's deadlines. We got to move, we got to make decisions. Who says? Who says that we have to do that? I've learned that the more I wait on God, and even the more pressures I get from the outside, you got to make a decision now. You got to make a decision now. If you got to make a decision now, I can tell you what it is right now. It's no. Because if I haven't heard from God, if I haven't got the direction, I'm not going to move until I do. You know what? Even preachers will say silly things. I about got in trouble on the way home because my wife would have got on me for saying that. But I was going to say that word stupid, but I don't say that in church. See, I snuck that in there, Mama. But we do silly things like, "Well, you can't turn a parked car." Well, yeah, but what does that mean? What they're saying is, well, just get in movement and then God will direct you once you start going. Absolutely not. If he hadn't told you what to do, you stay put until he tells you what to do. Jesus says, "I never do anything. I never say anything except what I've heard from the Father." He didn't move, even when pressures were pressing. How many remember when Lazarus died? He really loved Lazarus, Mary and Martha. And they sent word, hey, the one you really love, I'm sure they really buttered it up. The one that you really love, he's about to die. You need to hurry and get here. And so Jesus got the word, and then it says, very next phrase, and so he stayed there 2 more days. He loved him. But why? You got to look at why. Because the disciples begin to tell him, you know, why did you wait? And he says, are there not 12 hours in the day? I'm like, dude, that's the wrong answer for the question right there. Why did you wait? Are there not 12 hours in a day? Huh? But then he goes on and he says, he begins to talk about light and darkness. In other words, he says, when you walk in the light, you're not going to stumble. But when you walk in the dark, you're going to stumble. What was he talking about? Until you're led by God, until you're led by the Holy Ghost, if you're led by the Holy Ghost, it's light, and you're going to see things that come up, and you're not going to stumble. But if you're just out there trying to make it happen on your own, you're walking in darkness, and God just has to say, you're on your own. Good luck with that. This is good preaching. I know it's not very comfortable, but it's good preaching. And so it was when God helped the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bulls and rams. God's going to help you if you'll just ask him. Then, so I told you they didn't write this in chronological order. So David began to learn some lessons. How many, aren't you glad that you've learned some lessons? Aren't you glad? You may not be where you want to be yet, but aren't you glad you're not where you used to be? Come on, let me hear you in here. David learned a lesson. Go to 1 Chronicles 14. So we went 13, 15. I sure wish they'd have put it in the right order because it'd have been easier to preach. Now we're going to go back to 14. And look at verse 9. So here's what happens. The Philistine went out and made a raid on the Valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God. Say that out loud with me. And David inquired of God. In other words, he's getting attacked. Instead of saying, well, I saw this work with this army, let's go do this. He said, nope, 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 God, what do I do here? So David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? Then the Lord said to him, go up. Say, go up. Go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. So they went up, Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there. And David said, God has broken through my enemies by the hand like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, they called the name of this place Baal-perazim. Say, Baal-perazim. All right, is there any Bible scholars in here that know what that means? That is the Lord of the breakthrough. Oh, come on, say the Lord of the breakthrough. When you inquire of God, the Lord of the breakthrough shows up. This is a word for someone in the house. You've been hitting against the wall and hitting against the wall. And you're doing good, but it just seems like you can't get over the hump. You can't get past it. And when you inquire of God, the Lord of the breakthrough breaks down that wall that you've been hitting. Oh, there should have been shouting and running around the room right there. Why? There's the answer to everything. If I inquire of God, if I hear his word, now he begins to get involved with me. Oh, that's good. Have you sought God for what you're doing right now? The business that you're doing, have you really sought God for what you're doing right now? Has he really given you direction for what you're trying to do right now? Or are you just saying, hey, that's a great idea? And it might be a really great idea. It may even be a really good religious idea. But is it a God idea? Because I could get busy doing good ideas and miss the whole plan of God. Verse 13. Then the Philistines once again, say once again. So he defeated them the first time, and now once again they raided the valley. Therefore David inquired of God and said to him, shall I go up against him? And God says to him, you shall not go up after them. Now get this, folks. You better underline that in your Bible. Just because something worked once doesn't mean you do it the same way. Praise and worship leaders. Don, how many times has pastors come up to you and said, hey, play that one song that you played that time where the Holy Spirit really fell. Let's play that again. How many times has that happened? Why? We try to make something happen that worked once. Now let's keep going back to it. Keep going back to it. Keep going back to it. Maybe it'll work again. This is a good lesson. Just because he had you do it once that way doesn't mean you're going to do it that way every time. Remember when out of worship and I read you 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he said, you will not need to fight this battle. In other words, I'm going to fight this one, but the next one, you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to defeat them the next time. Why? I'm still with you. But don't try to make him a formula God. Pull this lever, push this button, and it's going to work. You seek his face because what worked that time may be different for this time. Why? Because you were reaching a certain group of people here, but he's going to change the way you do it, and now you're going to reach a whole different type of people because you're following his plan, not the way it worked last time. You shall not go up after them. Circle around them and come up from the front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound marching of the troops in the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle. For God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. So David did as God commanded him, and they drove them back, the army of the Philistines, from Gibeah as far as Gezer. Isn't that awesome? Is anyone learning anything tonight besides me? What is my whole theme? Hear him. Seek him. Obey him. He's got a specific, detailed plan. He says, when you hear troops marching in the mulberry trees, that's weird. But he has strategies. He's got insights. And when you hear that, after you've obeyed God, now he's going to give you insights. You're going to be at the front edge of something instead of trying to catch up with something. Let's wrap it up with this. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Now, I'm going to read this. Don't get caught up in the familiarity of these verses. I want you to hear what it's really saying. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now listen to verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now listen to the last two verses of this. For you shall go out with joy, and you shall be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. I'm telling you, I'm tired of seeing people in the church run down and ragged, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. But we've been chasing after our own stuff, and we're beating our head against the wall, and we're barely making it into church, and we're just crawling up, oh, pastor, pray for me. And we're supposed to have the pastor pray for us. But it's not because we've just been beat up all week long. When I hear from God, he says, I'm going to lead you out in peace. I'm going to bring the mountains down in front of you. Now listen to this. He says, the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now listen to verse 13. Pastor Mark, this is a verse for you right here. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That's kind of poetic, but this is what that means. Instead of ruins, instead of ugliness, instead of all these things, I'm going to bring my word to change it into great, decorative, beautiful, life-giving things. How does that all happen? My ways are not as your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. If you'll tap into my plan instead of desolation and ruin, you're going to have beautiful things. One of the things I got very excited about when he started telling me we might do this on a more regular basis on Sunday nights. He can do things on Sunday nights that he can't do as a pastor on Sunday mornings. He can go deeper into the Word of God. How many grew up and you had Sunday school? We don't have Sunday schools, and I'm not opposed to that. But he has an opportunity to, at a deeper level, teach the Word of God. When we go back to seeking his voice, seeking his direction, that's what brings success in everything that we do. I'm excited about this because this church is going to grow. And I'm not talking about rears in the seats. I'm talking about we're going to grow ourselves individually. And you know what the overflow is going to be? People will start coming in and filling the seats. Because why? They see it at work in your life. There's nothing more fulfilling, there's nothing more motivating and hype-giving than the Word in action. When we start doing the Word, people are going to want to show up. Why? The Word always works. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, I thank you for your Word. Lord, this isn't about me. It's not about Pastor Mark, Pastor JD. It's not about any of us. This is all for you, and it's all about you. Lord, forgive us for trying to make you into what we want versus us being transformed into what you want. Don, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. We're getting ready to sing this song, and I want you to just hear the words because it's the heart cry of our Father. It's time for us to go back to the heart of worship because it's not about us. It's about Him.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. But it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you,
through the way things appear, you're looking into Amen. God is good and all the time. I want you to go ahead and sit down for just a little bit. That was Ty. Now I'm bringing the message. I'm just kidding. No. That was awesome word. And he just Ty just, yeah, give Ty a hand clap. I mean, thank you. Their ministry is a gift to this house, along with Remnant, the worship team. I'm so thankful we got in connection with these guys too, because every time they come, I'm gonna tell you something. I just want to talk to you as your pastor, because I look out here and I'm seeing all who's here. This is the choir, Sunday night choir. You guys are this is the meat of the house of Harvest Fellowship Church. And I want to just piggyback off what he was talking about and tell you some things that are in my heart as we close tonight. I appreciate these two ministries, because when they come, they impart. It's just not about their ministry and they're here for love offering and then they go home. They're here. I know these people, beside, you know, other than being on stage, I know them outside of this, and I know their hearts, and when they come, they want to impart. Every time we've had Remnant here, and this is something I talked with Dawn. I said, Dawn, you know, I talked to a guy in Amarillo, because we're associated with the Trinity Fellowship Association of Churches. And I said, why can't you guys get worship teams that will come to, you know, small towns in Western Oklahoma? And he said, you know what? Here's the deal. Once they get on stage in Amarillo, that big old stage, they don't want to leave there, because it's all about them. And she was telling me about them starting a worship school, praise and worship school, there in Tulsa, where that's the heart of their ministry, is to release, you know, and raise kids up, that it's not just about the stage, it's about ministering to people. And so I'm excited to be in connection with them. But every time that they have came, they've only been here twice, but each time that they've come, I've seen Dawn talking with Mark, talking with my daughter, talking with our worship team, imparting things into them. And the very next Sunday, the worship goes up another level. My wife and I were talking about this, that our worship teams go up. And then I've seen Mark, and it's, I guarantee you next Sunday it'll be at another level. And our praise team, Jennifer and the Jennifers that are here, and everybody that we got, Jennifers and Marks and everything. We got Marks in the house, and we were talking about that. Dawn's husband's name is Mark. But I just wanted, you know, that was this message. We've had two of these services now. The first one was when Pastor Cody's prophetic team was here. Awesome service. Tonight's message. And I was just thinking about the flow of how this has been happening, because this is something and Ty just released another word to me, because this is something I've been seeking. God, how do we do this? How do we do this? Because I don't want to just have church to have church. I want this to be God, what he has, exactly. And some of it goes back into my church history, because I was in the Assemblies of God at one time. And if you was around the Assemblies of God, there was a revival that broke out in Pensacola, Florida. So every Pentecostal church that I knew of around was copycatting Pensacola, Florida. Let's have services. And let's have services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. We'll take off Saturday and then come back Sunday morning. So, and this was going on everywhere. And I was and Mark Ward's back there, my gosh, he's like, you know, and that was going on in a church that Jade and I were a part of. And I'm telling you guys, and I was on staff in this church, and it was wearing me out. And I got to the point, and we our kids were little, they were being nursery every night, and I was exhausted. And I remember going, God, this cannot be you. And in fact, I remember one night, I'll never forget this, and this has stuck in me, and I know that I went through this as a pastor to know that this isn't me, Mark. This is man trying to copy me. This is man trying to carry the ark the wrong way. And so, because it was just wearing everybody out. And I can remember there was a woman, bless her heart, and I talked about overcoming shame this morning. And she was a godly woman. She loved Jesus. She worked outside the home, but she also was over our missionettes program at church. So that every time those services are going on, we're having missionettes every night, you know, Assemblies of God. Missionettes is almost like, I guess the best way, like Girl Scouts in the Assemblies. And I remember her getting up on one of the night services and just breaking down and bawling. And just saying, God, give me. And I'm sitting back there in the sound booth on staff, and I was like, God, this cannot be you. I mean, this poor woman is wore out. She's working. She's having to be up here every night. And I'm like, if I'm ever pastor one day, God, I am not doing this to people. And I had to be there because I'm on staff. If I don't show up, I get fired. You know, that was kind of where it was at. And it was just, we were all just wore out. And I'm like, this is not revival. This is, we've titled these revival meetings that we're having. And so I have been praying, God, how do we do this? And this first year, this is all I have heard from Him, is once a quarter, we're going to have a night service like this. And in both these night services we've had, they've imparted into us. And it's like given me more, it's like each time we meet, there's more to the puzzle that comes out. And so the next one that we're going to have, you can mark your calendars now, is going to be September the 8th. And I'm actually bringing in, and this first year, I feel like the Lord's told me to bring in ministries to speak into our church. And so Cami Cantu will be here on September the 8th, and Remnant, because I've already told them that I wanted them to be here that Sunday as well. And guys, that's all I know to do right at this point, is to do it like that. And then next year, I have this feeling that it's going to change. You know, there's something else. And I feel like that what God is also telling me, it's not just me going to be making this decision. It's our leadership that's going to be seeking God with me to find out what we're supposed to do. Because here's the deal. I know Mark Haney can't do it all. Because I watched a pastor try to do it all himself and about, you know, mental nervous breakdown and everybody around him breaking down. That's not God. Amen. That's not revival. And something else that I'm going to release here tonight is something that in Ty, he shared something in his word, is, guys, I really feel this, and it's not about me, but I feel like God is bringing people in our church, and you guys are part of this, is that God is wanting to give us influence in this region. And I had a word spoken over me years ago, and it was one of those shelf words. At the time, I was like, no way, Jose. And I put it up on the shelf, and I really thought, okay, they must have ate pizza before they gave me that word, or, you know, had a bad dream. And I remember I put that, but down deep in my knower in here, I was like, no, but it's going to be for a specific time. And as I have gotten older, as I'm getting older and I'm becoming a poppy, which is going to happen this month, amen, I'm ready. But something that I have started taking interest more in and listening more to, and I'm like, God, and I was totally, I mean, years ago, I was totally against it, but it's politics. I'm just going to say it. And this prophetic word that was given to me was that our ministry, there was something in our ministry, and I know it's not just me, but in our ministry that what he was talking about earlier about, you know, the heads of state coming to a pastor, coming to a church and saying, what do we need to do? You know, asking for that kind of guidance and that. And guys, I believe when this message about rise up, that's what God's wanting us to do, is rise up. It's time for us to be the voice of God in this land. And I believe it's already started, but there's a grassroots thing happening across the land, and he's wanting this church to be in on it and a part of it. I don't know what all that involves, and some of you are like, yeah, I feel the same way. I'm like, eh? You know, because when that, she gave me, there was a woman, and it was up here on a woman from Trinity Fellowship and their prophetic team, and it was up here when we was in church on Main Street, and she gave me a word, and it was a right now word, and then she just stopped, and she just stared at me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, when somebody's a prophetic minister, and they stop and stare at you, I'm like, oh no, what? And she goes, Mark, she goes, Pastor, I'm going to tell you this, and I don't want this to alarm you or, you know, scare you. She goes, but I'm just hearing the word politics over you and your ministry. And I'm like, dear Jesus. You know, at that time I was like, no way, Jose. And I don't know what that means, okay? But I know, like Ty, this message is, I know a lot of us, when we hear the word politics, we think government, we think president, we think all, but I want what God wants for that word. And so we're going to keep inquiring about God, and even on these Sunday night services, we're going to keep inquiring to God about how he wants this to be. I don't want it to be church as normal. I want, when we meet, I want God to show up. Amen. I want us to have church and want great things to happen here. So, but I need y'all's prayers with me on this, all right? And I believe great days are ahead for Harvest Fellowship Church. The other thing I'm going to tell you, okay, go ahead.
Prophetic friend of his just stepped up. We're going to pray right now about that.
Amen.
Because what I heard when you were saying that, when God shows up with his plan, it's always bigger than what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's what you can do, then he doesn't need to be involved.
That's right.
But this is bigger than what this church is right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a sign and a wonder that when people, doesn't matter who it is, will seek God's face, he'll do great and mighty things.
Mm-hmm.
And that political realm, it is an influential thing. They're going to be coming to ask you, what do we need to do about this?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I pray that over this
yes.
house.
Yes,
I God. Pray that over this pastor,
mm-hmm.
this worship team, this whole management team of this church, Lord,
mm-hmm.
that they seek, they hear your voice.
Yes, God.
And Lord, we know it's bigger than them,
mm-hmm.
but God.
Yeah.
That's when God steps in. Lord, we just thank you
mm-hmm.
that you've already made plans, and it's bigger than what we can think. It's better than what we can think. But Lord, as we step into your will, your plan, you're going to take us to higher levels, higher yes. influence.
Yes, God.
People are going to want to know our God because we have personal relationship and can hear him clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to want to know that.
Yes,
and Lord,
God.
I just speak that over this house. I speak mm-hmm. this over this pastor.
Yes,
I thank
Lord.
You that he's going to seek you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to try to make this into something he can do, but yeah. he seeks your face.
Yes,
and Lord, you will fulfill it
yes.
in your time, your way, and in your season. In Jesus' name, amen.
And everybody said amen. Thank you, Ty. Guys, we're going to have, and Dusty and Mark, if you can help me to get that, we're going to have a basket back there, or you can put it in our tithe and offering box as well, but we'll get a basket back here. Because we want to be a blessing to both of these ministries. Remnant was here today. Ty, they were here this morning, this evening. Ty and Debbie, we want to be a blessing to them. And so if you want to just, pray and ask the Lord, if you want to give an offering, that would be awesome. And we want to bless both of these ministries. You can make your check. If you're doing check, you can make it out to Dad, I've been hanging around my dad too much. HFC. HFC. And we will make sure that it gets to the right people as well. So I love Pastor Bloopers. I love it. I love that. But guys, this has been an awesome night. Thank you. Yeah, Dusty has the basket back there. And appreciate everybody being here, and give Remnant and Ty and Debbie another big hand clap this evening. All right, I want everybody to stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Be sure and go back there and see Ty and Debbie at their resource table. Be sure and go back there to the Remnant table. If you haven't got a T-shirt, get you one. Looks like the whole church has got Remnant T-shirts. Amen. All right. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you so much for this time together this evening. Lord, I thank you for both of these ministries. Thank you for Remnant. Thank you for Ty and Debbie. God, thank you so much for the impartation that they bring every time that they're here. And God, we just pray a special blessing over their ministries. We also want to be a financial blessing to them. So God, I pray that each one of us would be obedient to what we need to give, and to help these ministries go forth and do what they're called to do, God. And Lord, we want to be obedient to everything that you're telling us to do. So God, we thank you that you're going to lead and guide and direct us by your Holy Spirit. We're going to inquire of you just like David did, and we're learning some lessons from him tonight that we're always going to inquire of you, big, little, small decisions, God, because we want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. We thank you and praise you for it. And again, God, thank you for this time together. Lord, I bless your people tonight. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, rise up. Rise up. Amen. That's the word. Rise up.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's got a Remnant shirt on. Come on up here. We're going to get a big picture with everybody. That's what I've been told. So we want to get a picture with the Remnant worship team before they head out. Everybody have a blessed week.